Little thing in the bulletin about the annual Covenant Women's Solid Supper. I apologize for the background. Came out a little bit darker than I thought it would. But at least you notice it, right? And reservations, there's sign-up sheets downstairs, so you should take advantage of that. On next Sunday, we start May. The months just keep clicking off, so we'll be sharing communion together. And then I was informed just this week that the National Day of Prayer is on Thursday. Of course, Jeffrey and I will be down in the Twin Cities for the convention, the conference annual meeting, so we won't be able to attend. But if you'd like to attend their meeting at noon on the steps of the Virginia Courthouse, and our friend Pastor Dan is going to be speaking at that. So that should be very inspirational and thought-provoking, since he always is. So those are pretty much the announcements, and then you'll notice that in May we've got a lot of stuff happening. So take note of all those different items. And just one other note for you to know of, the Conference Association will be having their meeting today here in the church at 2 o'clock. I think it goes 6 o'clock.
Tonight it's a catered dinner.
What's that?
It's a catered dinner for the workers for Arrowhead Cancer Association.
Yep.
At 6 o'clock.
Yep. So if you're thinking about stopping in, probably rearrange.
No problem. Just don't run a vacuum.
Yep. Yep. So you're aware of that.
And the organization very much appreciates using the church. Barb Moldrika always says, they let us come here and they don't expect us to pay anything, so just enjoy it. She always mentions and appreciates the hospitality of
it. Yep. And that's a good note. We have other groups using the church as well on occasion without pay. We have a heart for the community, so especially good things like that. So we continue our Easter celebration for a few weeks. That's why we're going to sing Easter songs again today and next week, and we'll see how it goes after that. So if you'd stand with me, let us share together the call to worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
And then number 253, he lives. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. Though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. We are so honored, our precious Lord Jesus, to be able to sing that hymn, that not only do You live, but You live in each of us. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And so we choose to follow You the way, to seek You the truth, and to find You our very own eternal life. And so we honor You this day. Meet with us, minister amongst us, and we will thank You in Your name, the high name of Jesus the Messiah, Son of the living God. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
On page 480. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with trombone, with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And our second reading is John 20, 19 through 31. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After He said this, He showed them His hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. When the other disciples told him that they had seen the Lord, he declared, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, the disciples were in the home again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Thank you, Barb. It's time for us to receive our morning tithes and offerings. So I'd ask the usher to come forward at this time. Let's pray together. Once again, Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for all that you have done for us, all that you have given for us, and all that you have given to us. We return these gifts to you with joy in our hearts. Receive them with our heart's joy and gladness to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together and let's praise our God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. Any prayer requests for this morning that you're aware of? Okay. We'll go with unspoken.
He's supposed to. Sarah is hoping they will let Steve go home today.
Okay. So they figured it out?
No.
They just stabilized.
He, whatever antibiotic the doctor chose was the right one because it, whatever the infection was, it started taking care of it right. So nothing had shown up.
Okay.
in-house, we have a pastor.
Praise that Jennifer is not even sore after her car being totaled, and she yesterday purchased a used Subaru crosshatch. And she has named it Babe the Blue Ox.
So I think everybody here is on the prayer list, so you read about that miracle. Right, let's go to prayer. Our Father, your Son Jesus, whom you love, has instructed us to come to you in his name, that when we come to you, you would hear us, and that we would receive the requests that we ask of you. You know us. You know that we are just people with our hearts, our wills, and our minds set to follow you. As we come to you today, we do ask that you would forgive us and cleanse us as we head out into this new day, as we continue to honor and worship you this morning. We would be mindful, Father, of all of our brothers and sisters, not only in the Quad Cities area, not only on the Iron Range, but all over the world, that you, through your Son and your Spirit, would continue the incredible work that you began at and after the cross 2,000 years ago. Until the time that you choose to send your Son back for us. We know that you will answer that prayer because that is your will. That is your plan. But you have instructed us, and your Son has instructed us to ask. And so we ask in accord with your will. We thank you for Steve and Marianne and Jennifer in the positive news in these cases. We thank you that sometimes you astound accident investigators, medical doctors, and on with your work and your answer to our prayers. So we ask that you'd continue to minister to and heal Steve. Give Sarah wisdom in the decisions she needs to continue to make, and continue to minister into the lives of the people in that precious family, that their hearts would honor you, love you, exalt you, acknowledge you, and see you in these miracles. We thank you so much for Marianne. What a blessing she always is. Thank you for the successful intervention through our medical professionals. And we ask that you'd continue to heal her and help her to restore her health and her vitality, especially helping her through rehab to gain strength. And the abilities that have declined, we would agree with Shirley's request that has been given to her from Marianne, that you would give her safe travels and reasonable weather during that. Give her good medical professionals up here in the area that can help her. Wisdom for that recovery time. We thank you for the miracle in Jennifer's life, truly a miracle. We thank you for saving her from disaster. We ask that you would heal her so that she doesn't have any significant bruising or damages after the fact. Continue the miracle on, that we and this family can continue to honor and exalt you for your goodness to all of us. For our country, Lord, we would ask that you'd continue your work for peace, not political peace, but spiritual peace. We ask that you'd continue your work for the good news of the gospel of Jesus going forth and producing fruit everywhere. Our request, Lord, it's not for politics, it's not for governments, it's for your kingdom to prosper. We stretch our faith to ask that you would restore the spiritual vitality of the United States of America that it once had during the revivals of the 1800s and even beyond. We stretch our faith because as we look at the circumstances, it is difficult to believe that that can happen. But we're not asking you about the circumstances, we're asking you about your kingdom, your name, the holy name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, that your names would be honored and glorified, and that because of that, a new sweep of your Holy Spirit and revival will spread across this land. We would ask you, Father, that you would give us as a small fellowship wisdom as we head into the future. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and give us the will and the strength to follow you in the directions that you give to us. Once again, Father, we would thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. We are here only because of your great love and compassion. We are here only, Jesus, because of your great love for your Father, obedience to your Father to complete the mission of redemption that has allowed us eternal life. Eternal life here today, eternal life forever. Your names be glorified, both now and forever. We seal these requests in the name above all names, the name of Jesus, at whose name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus, the Messiah, is the Lord. Amen. If you turn in your hymnals to hymn number 260, the day of resurrection, earth tell it out abroad. The Passover of gladness, the Passover of God. From death to life eternal, from earth to heaven on high, our Christ brought us over with hymns of victory. Our hearts be pure from evil, that we may see aright the Lord in rays eternal of resurrection light. And listen, His accents may hear so calm and plain, His own all hail and hearing may raise the victor's strain. Now let the heavens be joyful, let earth its song begin, the round world keep high triumph, and all that is therein. Let all things seen and unseen their notes with gladness blend, for Christ the Lord is risen, our joy no end. Well, thank you for meeting with us today to continue our celebration of the resurrection. The sermon today title is called It's Personal. What I've been trying to do over the last few months since Christmas is help us to feel, to sense the life of Jesus. We talk about Jesus, we talk about his teaching, we talk about Paul's teaching. What I've really been hoping for is that we would get a sense, a personal sense, individual, personal sense of this incredible man, Son of God, and not just read about him, and not just think about him, but feel him in our hearts. And so our journey has been getting to know this amazing Jesus, his life, his ministry, but more importantly, his person, who he is. And we're going to take a special look at that today. 3 weeks ago, we began to celebrate Holy Week. You probably didn't know the little scheme I had going. But we celebrated communion 3 weeks ago, and that was our Maundy Thursday. And so that service was all about the Last Supper. And of course, we talked about the divided city on the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem. Then we spent some time just looking at the scriptures about the keynote ministry of Jesus, which was healing and deliverance and raising people from the dead. I am convinced from John's Gospel, where he said, if we were to write everything, all the books in the world couldn't hold all that Jesus did and said. I am convinced that Jesus healed thousands of people. We hear about a few miracles of healing here and there. In 3.5 years, I believe he healed thousands, my opinion. I believe he healed tens of thousands of people, crowd after crowd after crowd. We don't spend a lot of time talking about that because healing is a controversial issue in the evangelical community. But I think we believe in healing. We may not believe enough in healing. As I've mentioned before, I would like the ministry of healing, and I'm continuing to ask for that. But I know this, that when healing occurs through a prayer, as we have experienced even this morning in the prayer requests and testimonies, that we give glory to a God who heals. I spent that time to try to help us sense what these disciples went through for 3.5 years. Crowd after crowd after crowd, and Jesus just healed them. The Bible says he healed them all. They didn't have to come to him to repent to get healing. He just healed. A demonstration, of course, of the great expansive love of God. And then, of course, we spent some time on the resurrection itself. Just a quick review. Up until this point, up until the point of Holy Week, or actually 10 days before the resurrection, the mission of Jesus had been, and he stated that very clearly and pointed out his frustration when he entered Jerusalem, his mission had been to reach the people of Israel, and in particular, to reach the people of Judah and Samaria. As we noted, as he entered Jerusalem, that mission had become extremely frustrating. And finally, Jesus says, I'm done. It's over. You had your chance. And as he enters Jerusalem, he weeps over Jerusalem and says, if only you had woken up. If only you had known the time of your visitation. And I don't know about you, but there are some times where I would just have liked to have lived during those 3.5 years, right? A lot of people did, and they just missed it. It just didn't work. Another mission of Jesus was to reveal the true nature of his Father. These people, and the Gentiles as well, can't leave them out, didn't get who God was. And so Jesus came to show us, through all those healings, all those miracles, who God really is, rather than what he is like. Who God really is. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's as simple as that. 10 days before Easter, there is a huge shift that I have hinted at previously. Jesus becomes someone different, of course, not different as far as he wasn't Jesus, he was Jesus. But his whole focus shifts. These 10 days are the explanation for me of the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have a seismic shift in the life of Jesus. His shift now is toward redemption. And his shift is now toward his own people. And when I say his own people, you're thinking Israel, right? No. What I mean is his own disciples, his own followers. His shift now is to the people who love him. A couple of examples to underline that. Lazarus is dead and in the tomb. And Jesus comes to the tomb and he weeps. Now we've got a lot of different explanations out there as to why. We don't know why for sure. But we do know this. He was hit with compassion, and if you will, a trauma so deep that he couldn't control his emotions, he had to weep at the tomb of Lazarus, even though he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. Some preachers say he was weeping because of the pain and sorrow that Mary and Martha had. Some preachers say he was weeping because of the unnecessariness of death itself. Some preachers say he was weeping because this was an impact to him of the coming death he was going to experience. All sorts of different explanations. Point I want to make is that he wept. And then Mary anoints Jesus. And you remember that story? Deeply moved, Mary is anointing Jesus, crying, wetting his feet with her tears. And there's a couple of different incidents like that that happened during Jesus' life. Deep, incredible love. And then Jesus enters Jerusalem, as I mentioned before. His sorrow is incredibly deep over his own people of Israel, who he senses are rejecting him. Again, uncontrollable emotions. He just stands there and cries. In John 14:22, it says, Jesus is troubled. depending on your translation. That Greek word is translated troubled, confused, disturbed. This is not just a passing, superficial thing. Jesus is really in trauma. But remember this also, he's tired. He's exhausted. And he's emotional. Ever been there? Worn out? If you're like me, you know that when you get worn out, your emotions just get pretty raw. And I mean emotions of every kind. Tired, worn out, but facing a trauma that is so big that in John 12, verse 27, Jesus says, "My soul is troubled to the point of death." Now we could translate that any way we would want to. But the point I would like us to see today is that these 10 days, Jesus is just shot. Just burned out. Burned out because of Israel. Burned out because of all the work and effort and time and emotions and power that has gone out from him. And facing death himself. So the first thing I'd like us to note is, you ever been there? Probably more than once, right? The loss of someone you're really close to, someone you love, have loved desperately, and you just wear yourself out with emotions, facing the funeral, trauma, or it could be a similar situation with someone who is ill. Or, if you're like me, facing a situation of a loved one who just refuses to accept Jesus, and you feel the pain that this person is going to be lost forever, and feel like Paul when he said, "I would have given up my life if Israel would be saved." That depth of passion, that depth of emotion is just a little sample of what Jesus is going through. But the point that I want to make is that when we're going through it, Jesus has already been there. And you know what the word says? That he suffered everything. Every kind of thing that we can face, he's been there before us. He paved the way. He showed us the way, and he showed us the way out. And so we come through this, or into this 10-day period of time, and after the resurrection. And when I read the scriptures, I see a new Jesus. And that new Jesus to me is the explanation for the 2,000 years since called Christianity. During those 10 days, Jesus turns to his disciples in John 14, and he says, "No longer do I call you servants. I call you friends." The Son of God, the King of Glory, says, "You're my friends. You've followed me. You've stuck with me. 3.5 years, you're still here. You haven't gone off and got your 30 pieces of silver. You're still here. Yeah, you ran away for a while. But when I was at the cross," and the Bible records this, "they were there. And his family was there. No wonder his brothers got saved later. And the crowd, it says the crowds were there, believers. And Jesus turns to them and says, our relationship now has changed. I've been your teacher, I've been your master. Now, I call you friends." And then he gives to his disciples a new commandment. Love one another. This is different from the Ten Commandments. This is positive. This is strong. This is love one another in the believing community. Yes, he told us to love our enemies. But in John 14, he says, love each other. Amongst believers, whether in this church or any other church, love each other. Love each other. And then, as we looked at previously in his high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed for us. 2,000 years later, he prayed for us. And then Jesus takes off his robe and he washes his disciples' feet. This is the new Jesus. And then, sort of humorously to me anyway, he says to his disciples, okay, I'm going to talk to you plainly. I'm going to skip the riddles and the parables. I'm just going to give it straight to you. And he does. After the resurrection, the change continues. This new Jesus, he appears on the shore of Galilee. No sermon, no message, no worship service. He just talks to his disciples. They do what he tells them to do. They go fishing. He sits down and has dinner with them. And then, for me, one of the most dramatic moments, he talks with Peter. And he says to Peter, do you love me? And he uses the Greek word agapao, which we know as agape, different verb, noun form. Do you love me like God loves you? And Peter's response is, I do love you. And Peter's response uses the Greek word phileo. I am your friend. Not the deep love that God has. All I can come up with is, I'm still your friend. Jesus asks him one more time, the same interchange. on the third time, Jesus changes and he says to Peter, "Do you phileo me?" He changes his question to where Peter is at. Instead of holding the standard that he began with, Jesus, in changing that word, steps down to Peter and says, "Okay, bud, I'm okay with where you're at. We're going to go on from here together as friends. Where you're at is good enough for me." And so Peter is restored. And as we know, Jesus commissions his friends, and then he tells them the good news. The Comforter is coming. Did you catch the shift? Do you feel it? Do you sense it? For Jesus, now, 10 days, during the 10 days before the resurrection and after the resurrection, this is now personal. We call it relationship. I don't particularly like that word because it kind of softens it somewhat. But getting to know Jesus, becoming a Christian, to me is so much greater than relationship. Because Jesus wants it to be personal. You and Jesus, me and Jesus and you, Jesus and me. No matter where I'm at, no matter where you're at, no matter what the reason is or reasons are not, if I can only come up with the Greek word phileo, good enough. This is personal. Would you pray with me? It is hard for us, Lord Jesus, to sense through words on a page. Without being there and seeing your tears, feeling your exhaustion, going into the garden with you and seeing how wasted you were at the time for taking on our sins, for loving us so very much. But we want to sense how personal this was for you and how personal it is for you. And so this morning, in response, we want to say, Lord Jesus, it's personal for us too. We want to be your friends. We want to be your friend. We want to be so committed to you, to walk with you, to love you, to feel your peace and joy, your healing, your presence. And we know that you do too. Can you help us with that? We want to go deeper. Thank you for helping us with that, Jesus. Amen. The next hymn we're going to sing has a little bit of a story. It's called Because He Lives. So I wanted to sing this during Easter time. So I'm looking for it in the section of the blue hymnal that contains the Easter hymns, and it's not there. And so then I went to the silver hymnal, and I found it there in the silver hymnal. So I sent that to Shirley, and Shirley texts me back. No, we talked. Yeah, called me and said, it's in the blue hymnal. I said, it's not in the blue hymnal. I looked in the Easter section. It wasn't there. And so she said, it's 744. I said, well, that's not fair. It's not in the Easter section. That song belongs in the Easter section. What's it doing out here? So through that little navigational experience and the help of Shirley, we have 744, Because He Lives, in the blue hymnal. Why don't we stand?
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
And because He lives, we can bless each other like we do at the end of every service.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon